seated and take a Bible, if you have one, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read some verses from verse 16 through 18. There are some notes in your bulletin that you can use to follow along if you'd like to. I feel sort of like the pastor who said while he was preaching one day, I've got so many things to say today that I don't know where to begin. So a little boy spoke up in the church and says, well, why don't you start somewhere near the end? Don't raise your hand if you agree with that boy this morning. This morning I want to talk to you about signs of the end. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul's talking about a very powerful worldwide event where the believers in Jesus Christ are caught away by Jesus, the bride caught away to the bridegroom to spend eternity in heaven. That's the rapture of the church. And when it comes to the prophetic future, that's the next big thing to happen on the prophetic calendar is the catching away of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the big question that everybody has is, when will this happen? When will this amazing occurrence take place? And how will we know when it's going to take place? Well, remember, Jesus said there was going to be some warning signs. There was going to be some things that would happen to kind of tip you off, hey, it's getting close. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus said there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up. I like that. Straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. You may have heard of Billy Graham. The world-renowned evangelist is sounding the alarm that the second coming of Jesus is close. Here's what he says. There's a great deal to say in the Bible about the signs we're to watch for, and when these signs all converge at one place, we can be sure that we're close to the end of the age. Now, how many of you have ever heard that we're close to the end of the age? Okay, only a third of you. The rest of you, this is brand new stuff. How many have heard at one time in your life that Jesus is coming soon, right? So Billy Graham is saying that as well. But look what he says. Those signs, in my judgment, are converging now for the first time since Jesus made those predictions. That is a very weighty statement that he just made. He will celebrate, I believe, his 95th birthday this week. If anybody has heard it all or seen it all, it's Billy Graham. Now, I've grown up in the church. My dad's a pastor. I'm 44 years old, and I can tell you that all my life, I have heard about the return of Jesus. This pastor's kid has spent many a night awake with one eye open, if you know what I'm saying. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Because I've heard that Jesus is coming, and you better be ready. That's not a bad thing, is it? Earlier this month, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told the United Nations General Assembly, he says, biblical prophecies are now being realized. Now, this is why we're taking, quote, a break from our focus on Acts chapter 10 and giving, praying, and fasting. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to focus on this, and we're going to come back to Acts chapter 10. You say, why would you do that, Pastor? Because there is an urgency in my spirit. There is an urgency in the air that the people of God need to be reminded that Jesus is coming soon, and that we are in the season that the Bible has been talking about. Because more and more, I look around and I see what's in the newspaper and I see what's in the Bible and I say, hey, these are all the things that people have been talking about for years and decades and even centuries. They are coming to pass before our very eyes, and one right after the other with amazing speed. And sometimes I wonder if we truly believe that these are the last days, that we're in the season of the return of Jesus Christ. And so this week and next week, I just want to paint a picture of perhaps you may want to pay attention to the season that we're in. You may want to pay attention to the signs that the Bible says are there so that we could be aware of what's coming. I want to talk to you about two specific thoughts this morning. How many of you ever heard of preachers recently talk about the coming four blood moons? How many of you have heard of that? John Hagee, Bob Rogers, Mark Blitz, and other Bible teachers have brought to light this amazing phenomenon in the atmosphere. Now hang on for a minute, okay? And just pay attention as we go through this, because I'm just painting a picture. And then we're going to get to a scripture that we're going to break down. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, the scripture says, God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Okay, so the Bible says that the sun, the moon, and the heavens are to be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Now, how many know we measure days and seasons by the sun and the moon? Okay, that's how we know how long a day is and the seasons. But the Bible says they're not just for the calendar. The Bible says that they're also a sign to us, a warning to us. Are you paying attention? The heavens are God's billboard. Boy, Pastor, I wish God would just put up some billboards all around the country, all around the world, and tell us when he's coming. Well, he actually has. It's in the heavens, and it's screaming to the world, Jesus is coming soon. Three times the scripture speaks of eclipses where the sun is darkened by the moon and the moon is darkened by the earth. The latter is called a blood moon because of the reddish tint the moon takes on during a total lunar eclipse. Joel 2 verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into what? Blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 20, Peter is quoting Joel on the day of Pentecost when he says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. So the scripture is saying that before the day of the Lord, quote unquote, the day of the Lord, there will be a blood moon. Now, there's some discrepancy as far as Bible scholars go. Is this an atmospheric catastrophic event? Or is it a blood moon, what we would call a total lunar eclipse? Some fascinating stuff. Pay attention. According to NASA's website, there are hundreds of blood moons or lunar eclipses that have occurred throughout human history. However, there have only been three times in the last 500 years when a blood moon occurred on a Jewish holiday. Now, you may have heard that the Jewish people are God's time clock for the future, right? And so when the blood moons occur on a Jewish holiday, we need to pay attention. Now, so there have been three times in the last 500 years when a blood moon in the sky occurred on a Jewish holiday. Now, the first was 1492, the second one was 1948, and the third was 1967. Do any of those dates mean anything to anybody? Let's do a little bit of a history lesson here this morning. The first blood moon that occurred during on a Jewish holiday occurred during Passover in 1492. Now, what happened in 1492? 1492, Columbus sailed the... You guys are so smart. You graduated first grade. God bless you. Christopher Columbus writes in his diary, in the same month in which their majesties, Ferdinand and Isabella, issued the edict of expulsion that all Jews should be driven out of the kingdom and its territories, in the same month they gave me the order to undertake with sufficient men my expedition of discovery to the Indies. The expulsion that Columbus is referring to was so cataclysmic an event that ever since, the date 1492 has been almost as important in Jewish history as it is American history. Pay attention. On July 30th of that year, the entire Jewish community, some 200,000 people, were expelled from Spain. This was at the end of the Spanish Inquisition. Tens of thousands of refugees died while trying to reach safety.
In some instances, Spanish ship captains charged Jewish passengers an exorbitant amount of money to take them to freedom, but then they would dump them overboard in the middle of the ocean. In the last days before the expulsion, rumors spread throughout Spain that the fleeing refugees had swallowed gold and diamonds. And many Jews were knifed to death by some who were hoping to find those treasures in their stomachs. The voyage of Columbus, many of you may not know, was financed by two Jewish men who had converted to Christianity. You're not going to read that in your history book in school. Their hope was that Columbus would find a safe haven and land where the Jewish people could have peace. On August 3rd, 1942, Columbus sailed from Spain, and he took with him five Jewish crew members: his navigator, his doctor, his surgeon, his astronomer, and his interpreter were all Jewish people. Now, why would you need an interpreter, a Hebrew interpreter? Well, Columbus evidently believed, or wanted to believe, that he would meet Hebrew-speaking Jews on the other side of the world. Columbus believed that he would find the 10 lost tribes of Israel, and that he would need a Hebrew interpreter when he found them. I'm pausing for effect. It's amazing. Now, there's a good deal of evidence that Columbus's grandparents were Jews. History shows that Columbus's voyage established what is now the American Jewish community, which, by the way, is only second in size to the nation of Israel itself. There are 6 million Jewish people in Israel. There are just under 6 million here in the United States. The next closest nation has less than a million. You get the picture here? America began as a sanctuary for the Jewish people. The second blood moon occurred on a Jewish holiday, happened in 1948. On May 14th, 1948, at precisely 4 o'clock p.m., Ben David Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, announced Israel's independence. And 11 minutes after his announcement, President Harry Truman declares the support of the United States on this new nation of Israel, and Israel is reborn as a modern nation after thousands of years of being scattered all over the earth. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this. Never before has any nation that once existed, had been scattered and had been spread out all over the world, had come together to be a nation again, but it happened in May of 1948. Prophecy teachers call this event a super sign of the last days of the return of Jesus. The third blood moon to occur in the last 500 years on a Jewish holiday happened on Passover in June 1967. Anybody remember what happened in 1967? Anybody born alive before 1967? Don't raise your hand, don't worry, we don't want to know. This was the historic 6 Days War, where Israel captures the city of Jerusalem away from Syria. And the reason they call it the 6 Days War is because it only lasted 6 days. And many people will tell you that the 6 Days War is a testament that God is on Israel's side. The Israelis recaptured the holy city and ended the rule of the Gentiles over Jerusalem. Are you paying attention? Are you still with me? Amen. Three blood moons that occurred on three Jewish feast days in the last 500 years, and all just coincidentally coincided with world-changing events and Israel. Do you think it's a coincidence? Well, when is the next blood moon supposed to occur, Pastor, on a Jewish holiday? Pay attention to this. With modern technology and NASA's computers, we now know when the next blood moons will be. Now remember, in the past, there were three blood moons occurring on Jewish holidays in the last 500 years. Four of them will happen on Jewish holidays in the next 3 years. The first blood moon is scheduled to occur on Passover, April 15th, 2014. That's about 6 months from now. The second blood moon is scheduled to occur on Sukkot, the Old Testament Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, October 8, 2014. The third blood moon is scheduled to occur on Passover, April 4th, 2015. And the fourth blood moon is scheduled to occur on Sukkot, September 28th, 2015. You say, Pastor, has this ever happened before? We know it's never happened in the last 500 years. We don't have the technology or data to measure it before that. Now, are you going to step out on your back porch and see these? No. But all of these blood moons will be seen collectively around the world. Now, these signs in the sun and in the moon signal to the world that something big is going to happen. What's going to happen, Pastor? Are you ready for the answer? What's going to happen April 15, 2014? Well, my taxes are going to be due, I know that. And at my house, it's usually April 14th. It's a late night for me. Can I get a witness in that? Yeah, I'm just saying. Are you ready for my answer? What's going to happen April 15, 2014? I don't know. I don't have any idea. We don't know. Could this be, Pastor, the signaling of the beginning of the war of Ezekiel described in Ezekiel 38? We'll talk more about that next Sunday. Could it be a signal of the return of Jesus Christ to the earth or the rapture? I don't know that either. Pastor, are you saying that Jesus is going to return to the earth on one of these dates? Well, let me tell you what Jesus said about date setting, okay? Matthew 24, verse 36, we can't miss this. About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So Jesus says, listen, this is an amazing statement. Jesus said, I don't even know. I can't tell you the date. Only the Father knows when he will return. So get this, all right, for those of you that are already tweeting and putting on Facebook, Pastor said April 15, 2014, Jesus is coming back. That is not what I'm saying. No one here is predicting a date for the second coming of Jesus. Let me say that again. No one here today is predicting a date for the second coming of Jesus. It would be foolish to do that. Amen. You know what? History shows that, well, I'm not going to circle April 15, 2014 on my calendar and wait up all night for Jesus to come back the next day. History shows that you are foolish if you do things like that. You look pretty dumb. But Jesus also said, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Jesus is saying, listen, no man knows the day or the hour. So it does no good to set a date and say Jesus is coming on such and such a date. But he did say, you can learn a lesson about this from watching trees and their leaves. Now, we know around here in Indiana that in fall season, we know it's fall because the leaves are turning color. And we know that pretty soon they're going to fall on the ground in preparation for winter. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, we don't know the exact date that those leaves are going to fall. We don't know the exact date that those trees are going to turn. Sometimes it's a little bit earlier, sometimes it's a little bit later, depending on the weather. But we do know it's the season. Are you getting this? So God says, you won't know the date, but you do need to pay attention when these things begin to take place because you'll know the season. We won't know the date, the Bible says, but we will know the season. And what I'm saying to you today is this definitely feels like the season. Can I give you one more picture of this? How many of you have ever heard of the Jubilee prophecy? Pastor Dave Williams was here in September, and in one of our meals that we were sharing with him, he shared this with me, something I'd never heard before about the Jubilee prophecy. So after he told me this is a fascinating thing, I began to research and began to learn about it. So here it is, the Jubilee prophecy of Rabbi Judah ben Samuel. It goes like this. Judah ben Samuel was a German rabbi of the 12th century who made some astonishing and specific predictions about the future. Now, he was a mystic, which meant that, he was kind of outside the box a little bit. Some believe that he was a messianic Jew because he had a close relationship with Christians. Christian leaders would go to him for counsel and encouragement, and his ministry was prophetic in nature. Well, just before he dies in 1217 AD, he writes his final prediction. And I don't know if it's a prophetic word, because how many know these things are subjective, and we're not going to go around making a doctrine out about what people say or dreams or visions that they had. We have the Word of God, and this is the final authority on every doctrine. Somebody say amen. Okay, but when one of these visions or dreams is lining up with God's word or is credible with God's word, then only then do we give it some credibility. Nod your head if you understood what I just said. In the vision, he says, when the Ottomans or the Turks conquer Jerusalem, they will rule over Jerusalem for 8 jubilees. Afterwards, Jerusalem will become no man's land for 1 jubilee. And then in the 9th jubilee, it will once again come back into the possession of the Jewish nation, which would signify the beginning of the Messianic end time. Okay, Pastor, I don't understand what that means, okay? Let me give you a little bit of a lesson. In the Old Testament, a jubilee was how long? It was 50 years. Okay, it was 50 years. On the 50th year, everything went back. You know, if you were a slave, you got set free. If you were in debt, all of your debts were canceled. Anybody liking this so far? Right? And so that's what it would last 50 years. You can read more about it in Leviticus chapter 25. Okay, now watch this. The Ottomans or the Turks, they did indeed conquer Jerusalem in 1517 AD. By the way, 300 years after Judah ben Samuel said they would, after he made this prediction. And they remained in power in Jerusalem for 400 years or 8 jubilees, just as he said. Exactly, get this, exactly 400 years later, in 1917, on Hanukkah, by the way, British General George Allenby walks down the streets of Jerusalem to a hero's welcome as they drive out the Ottomans, the Muslims, the Turks from Jerusalem. From that point, Judah ben Samuel said, there will be 1 jubilee later that Jerusalem will come back under control of the Jewish nation. 50 years added to 1917 is 1967. What happened in 1967? We just talked about it. It's the Six Days War when Israel recaptures Jerusalem, and now they take control over Jerusalem for the first time in a long time. And then he says, there'll be 1 jubilee until Messiah. If you add 50 years to 1967, you get, go ahead and show the chart up there if you don't mind. You get 2017. Okay, Pastor, now I see. It's going to happen in 2017. What's going to happen in 2017? I don't know. This was a Jewish rabbi. He's not Paul. He's not Peter. The things that he wrote are not worthy of the Bible because they don't pass any of the tests of canon to make scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, useful for reproof, rebuke, correction, and training and righteousness. Doctrine. Are you with me? So this doesn't measure up to that. I'm just trying to paint a picture. Because all of this could be a coincidence. Could be. After all, it's not the word of God, it's the word of a man. It just so happened that everything he said to this point has come true. Well, why would you talk about it then? Why would you scare us half to death? I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to warn you. And I do believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to wake up and recognize the season that we live. Here's why we're talking about this. Luke 21, verse 28. Jesus said, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, you better pay attention. You better stop looking around and start looking up, because the return of Jesus is very close. Are you getting this? Amen. Why you talk about this? John chapter 14, verse 29, Jesus said, I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe.
There are far too many people in our world who'd say, yeah, well, whatever. Whatever. Latest mumbo jumbo from you crazy Christians. But the Bible says the reason that we should talk about this is so that we could have faith. Because Jesus said in the last days, many people will be deceived. Many will fall away. And they won't make it. And as your pastor, can I just go ahead and tell you? I don't want that to happen to you. I realize that some are going to walk away. Some are going to watch this on the internet. And they're just going to have fun. They're going to poke fun. They're going to say whatever. Whatever. But the reality is, you're sitting here today, and you know that God's word is true. And you know, as you look around, as you read the Bible, as you see the headlines, you see something's going on. And I'm telling you that that something is the preparation for the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I've heard this all my life. I've heard this from the time I was born. But I have never seen what we're seeing now. I have never seen what's going on, what's going now. Well, so what, Pastor? Here's your so what. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Here's the sermon. All that was the introduction. Pastor's preaching stories as a sermon. That's not the sermon. That was the introduction. Here's the sermon. Are you ready? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter says, the end is near. Here's how you should act. Here's how you should respond. Here's how you should live. This is important. Here's what he says. First of all, keep your head clear. Keep your head clear. Verse 7 says, don't be deceived. How many know the scripture says, in the last days many will be deceived. Many will fall away. Pay attention. Pay attention. Here, listen to this. The only way you will keep from being deceived in the last days is for you to keep your face in this book. There is only one way that you are not going to fall for lies of our culture and the spirit of Antichrist. And the only way is to have your face in this book so that you will know right from wrong. And you will know what is godly and what is ungodly. And you will know what is from God and what is from hell itself. Because it may look good, it may seem good, but the Bible says there's a way that seems right to people, but the end of that way is destruction and death. So it's not even about your standard. It's not even about your school standards. It's not even about the culture standards. It's about God's standard because he's the final judge. The Bible says, keep your head clear. So if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. If you do have a Bible, open it, read it, talk about it, pray through it. It's serious. Keep your head clear. The second thing he says is keep your heart clean. How should we respond to a message like this? Keep your heart clean through repentance and prayer. Get right with God. Get your heart right with God. If there's anything between you and Jesus, lay it on the altar this morning. The Bible says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Get right with God. This is not the time to be messing around with sin. This is not the time to be exploring your liberties as a Christian. This is a time to embrace the cross of Jesus and have, the Bible says that we are going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now is the time to wash your garments. Now is the time to get ready for the wedding. Now is the time to get cleaned up.
That happens through repentance. That happens through the cross of Jesus. Keep your heart clean. Third thing Peter says is keep your home open. Keep your home open. What are you talking about? He says love each other deeply and offer hospitality to one another. So the Bible says to believers in Jesus, you got to stick together. You better stick together. As the day comes closer and closer, don't meet less and less. Meet more and more. I'm preaching now. These small groups that were going to happen tonight, well, Pastor, I just don't feel that. Baloney. You feel it. You need it. Regardless of how you feel, we need one another because the Bible says these days are going to become very hard. And we need each other to encourage one another. So keep your home open. He says, keep your hands busy. Use whatever gifts you have to serve other people. Whatever God's been talking to you about, doing for the kingdom of God, don't be waiting. This is not the time to put it off. Do it. Get involved in the kingdom of God. I'm too busy. You may be too busy. You just have different priorities than you should have. And there's what he says. Keep your mouth open. You need to share this truth with other people. If you know somebody that's far from God, this is your time to pray for them. This is your time to share the gospel of Jesus with them. This is the time to invite them to church. This is the time to throw out the net, fast and pray so that their hearts will be given to God. See, Pastor, if you feel like the return of Jesus Christ is so imminent, why in the world are you building that sanctuary? That's a good question. Can I go ahead and tell you something? What I sense that God has told me, that there will be more people saved in that sanctuary in a short amount of time than we've seen in the last 16 years combined here at this church. That's what I sense God is saying to me. You keep going because that is going to be a harvest place. What do we do? Well, I like what John Muncy says. This is not the time to start playing pin the tail on the Antichrist. Well, I know who he is. It all lines up. Now's not the time to get involved with the crazies. I call them the prophetic crazies. There's a role, there's a place for prophecy teachings to warn us, just like we're doing here this morning. But you can get all caught up in that and be totally worthless to everybody around you. Do you know what the time is now? The time is to be like Noah on the ark and to shout, judgment is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Come into the ark of safety. Get into the ark of safety before the rains come, before the flood comes. Because the Bible says there is a tribulation coming on the earth. And the Bible says it will be unparalleled. The suffering, the torment, the pain, the hurt on the earth will be unparalleled in all of history. So the Bible says, warn them to flee from the wrath to come. I know. You say, Pastor, this just sounds like, if I start telling people that, they're going to think I'm crazy. It's exactly what they thought about Noah. Who do you know that's not saved? Who do you know that's not in the ark of safety? Now's the time to cry out to God. Now's the time to fast and pray and give. Now's the time to get in position for God to do a miracle through you and for you. Now's the time for your household to be saved. Would you stand with me in this place? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? No one's leaving. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I believe what you're saying is true. I believe God's word is true, that Jesus is coming. And if I'm honest today, I'm not sure if I'm ready, or I know for a fact I'm not ready because I don't have a relationship with God. Can I tell you today that God brought you here because he loves you? You are hearing this voice, you are hearing this word because he loves you. He does not want you to perish. He wants you to come into the ark of safety and trust him and do what so many have done and do what I did and just trust Jesus as your Savior. Determined to follow him with your heart. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not living the life that I should be living.
or today I want to make sure that things are right between me and God. I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, your hands are going to go up all over this room, and people are going to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be sure that my life is right with God. Today I'm ready to choose Jesus. One, two, three. Put it up. God bless you. Hands are up all over. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands are up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep raising them. Come on, keep raising them. I want to make sure that my life is right with God. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. God bless you. Many, many, many hands are raised. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. If you raised your hand with your hand raised, would you come join me at this altar and pray? Every one of you. Come on. You mean business with God. Come on. Step out of your seat. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to hurt you. We're just going to pray with you and believe God with you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. 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 Come on, give God some praise for all these people who are coming. Leaders, small group leaders and elders are coming to pray. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. There's some people here, the rest of us, and I just want you to be honest with God. Nobody's looking around. You say, Pastor, you know what? I believe Jesus is coming, but I sure am not living the life that I want to live. The life I'm living now is not the way I want him to find me. My priorities are off. My heart is off. There's apathy there. There's callous. There's something going on. And there's some things that the Holy Spirit's dealing with me about that. As Jesus comes, I want to live life a certain way. And right now, I'm not there. Raise your hand. That's you. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. That's you. Raise your hand. That's me. That's me. You raise your hand. Come on, you join these in praying. Come, 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 come. Come on, come, come quickly. God is smiling on you today for responding because you want to be ready. You're getting ready for the wedding of the bride and the bridegroom. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. There are people in this room today. You are going through a war. You're going through supernatural stuff, and it is about to get the best of you here today. And God brought you here today. He says, comfort one another with these words, that he's going to deliver you. He's going to save you. He's going to help you. He's going to bring to pass what he promised to you. If that's you here today, raise your hand. That's me. That's me. That's me. Okay. Amen. That's you. Come on. You come and join these as well. Come on. Come and join them as well. Amen. You come. We're going to sing this chorus and then we're going to pray together. Come on, church, pray together with me for these men and women. Let's pray.
At the cross, I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
Thank you, Jesus. If you want to come and help pray with these, come and help pray with them. Small group leaders, come. Youth leaders, come and help us. Help us pray. Dietrich, come help us pray. Wednesday night teachers, come help us pray. Pray for these men and women. Let's agree together.
There's no greater love than this.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you, God.
You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills
the highest
place.
Doug, would you help us pray?
What can separate?
Any leader in the church, we need some people to come help pray today. Come on. Come on. Anybody. Make sure somebody's got somebody praying with them, believing God with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You tore the veil.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
You made a way. When you said that it is done. I bow my knee where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
All of you that came forward today, I want to pray a simple prayer with you, and anybody that would like to join us, and praying a prayer of repentance because we want our hearts to be clean. Let's pray together. Dear God, come on, say it with me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. You love me so much that you brought me here today to hear the truth. I need you. I want to be saved. I want to be right with you. I want my heart to be clean. Today I identify with Jesus. He is the Savior of my soul. He is the sacrifice for my sins. I did sin, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me and give me a new heart. From this day forward, I choose to follow you, Jesus, with all of my life. Holy Spirit, give me your power to serve you every day and to follow you until you return. Make me ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that have come to minister to these, go ahead and take a moment and talk to them, encourage them, and pray with them. For everybody else, I want you to listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to take up this topic again next Sunday, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Bring people to hear the truth. And we're going to preach God's word, and we're going to believe God, that God's going to wake them up. God's going to draw them to the cross because his return is very soon. Tonight in your small groups, I want you to encourage one another to knowing that the return of Christ is near, and that's our job, is to do that, to encourage one another. And our opportunities to pray this week, would you come and pray with us? Would you come and pray with us? Some of you can come Tuesday morning. Some of you can come Wednesday night at 6. Some of you can come Friday night at 7. Some of you can come Saturday morning at 6:30 and Sunday morning at 8:30. Why would we do that? Because this is a spiritual deal we're working with, right? It's a spiritual battle. And the battle is won when we pray. Fast with us. You're not going to die, I promise, all right? Fast one time this week and ask God just for a supernatural outpouring of his Spirit. And pray about what you're going to give toward the new sanctuary, because as you invest in that building, you know what you're doing? You're investing in people's lives and souls being saved. And kids, like we talked about, Spanish-speaking folks, everybody, as we invest in that together. Amen? Amen? Are you glad you came to church today? Amen. Amen. Have a great day in Jesus. We love you very much.